Thanks, Nathan. This is Maryland Morning on 88.1. I'm Sheila Cast. Welcome back to The Checkup, our weekly series about how healthcare is changing in Maryland. Maryland's political power structure is all in when it comes to the Affordable Care Act, otherwise known as Obamacare. 22 other states refused to expand Medicaid to poor adults without children. Maryland leapt at the chance. 27 other states decided against setting up their own online marketplaces for health insurance. Maryland plunged ahead. But as you've been hearing on NPR, on Capitol Hill in Washington, a debate is raging this week over whether Obamacare should be stopped or delayed. The only elected Marylander who voted last week for the resolution to keep government open only if Obamacare is defunded is the only Republican in the Free States delegation, Andy Harris. He tweeted, "I just voted to defund Obamacare train wreck while keeping the government open. I hope my colleagues in the Senate do the same." Harris is also a medical doctor and anesthesiologist. We wanted to ask why he sees Obamacare as a train wreck, but he declined to talk to us. We collected some of his comments from his interview in late July with PJ Media, a network of conservative websites.
The way that law got passed, there was no way it was going to work properly. It was cooked up in a last minute. You recall the Christmas Eve votes in the Senate. The confusion as the House had to pass a bill that couldn't go back to the Senate because it was going to be filibustered. So we ended up with a bill that was just terrible, where the people who knew, the physicians, for instance, in Congress, who knew how the health system worked, knew that could never be implemented on time. You can't promise more health care to more people for less money. That's just not the way our system works. And if people are going to expect more health care, more coverage, more people to be insured, and think the average person is going to pay less, they're just wrong. You are not going to convince young, healthy people that that product that they're going to be sold on the exchanges is worth their hard-earned dollars, because they can avoid it, pay the penalty, the $95 a year penalty, and God forbid they need the insurance, they could always enter the market at that time.
Congressman Andy Harris, an anesthesiologist, represents Maryland's 1st Congressional District. Those clips were taken from a late July interview with PJ Media, a network of conservative websites. This is Maryland Morning on WYPR. I'm Sheila Cast. If the House and Senate don't break their budget impasse, the federal government could shut down a week from today, October 1st. That's also opening day of the centerpiece of the Affordable Care Act, the online marketplaces or exchanges where people are supposed to be able to comparison shop for insurance and find out if they're eligible for subsidies or for Medicaid. Could that be a train wreck on that day? To find out, we got in touch with Paige Winfield Cunningham, who covers healthcare for Politico, and she joins us by phone from the press gallery in the U.S. Capitol. Good morning, Paige.
Hi, Sheila. Great to be on.
Thank you for joining us. Now, if there's no agreement on funding the government, what happens to the healthcare exchanges on opening day?
Well, as you said, we're just a week away from October 1st, that a date that lots of people have been waiting for, when folks can go to the exchanges and potentially enroll in coverage. But as to the question of if there is actually a government shutdown, what's going to happen to the health care law and this key date where it's rolled out, it's a question that's going to have slightly different answers depending on what state you're in. As you already said, in Maryland, the state's been sort of at the forefront of implementing the law. And the state itself is running the exchange and expanding Medicaid. So probably in Maryland, if the shutdown was only for a few days or a few weeks, there really wouldn't be much of an impact. Many components of the Affordable Care Act have already been rolled out and implemented. Changes to Medicare, regulations for insurers, a lot of those things are already in effect. Navigators have already been awarded grants to help people enroll in the law, so they're already ready. They're going to be going ahead and doing their work, even if there is a shutdown, because they're already paid. The question could potentially be in the area of furloughs. If there was a shutdown, the government would be required to furlough some workers. The administration would have some discretion over which workers would be furloughed and which could continue working. Those who were deemed essential to deliver benefits could potentially keep working. It's a little bit of an open question as to whether the federal employees who are working with these state exchanges to deliver these insurance subsidies, it's a question of whether they would be furloughed or not. But the likelihood is, even if that was the case, a shutdown you know, probably wouldn't last longer than a few days or a few weeks if we're looking back at history. The longest shutdown has only been for 17 days.
And that was the second shutdown in 1995, correct?
I believe so, yeah, mid-90s. Mm-hmm.
And so what could happen if it goes longer?
If it goes longer, you'd have some bigger problems. There's a good chance that there would be a lot of bickering between Democrats and Republicans as to how much leeway the administration still has in implementing the law. Basically, the current practice is that the benefits that people are entitled to still need to be delivered, even if there's a government shutdown. There's a good chance that Republicans would try to block the insurance subsidies from going out and being awarded to people starting on January 1st. Again, it's probably not a scenario that we'll see, but if there was a shutdown for a few months, yes, you would see probably some bigger problems. But what we're looking at right now, people in Maryland are still going to be able to go to the exchange, find out their eligibility, enroll, even if the federal government is shut down.
You mentioned the subsidies on the exchange, and you mentioned that they would actually get to people, or people would start accruing them on January 1st when the coverage starts. But the money for that and the money for Medicaid, as I understand it, they're in a different kind of spending than the kind that is affected by this current negotiation over the budget.
Yes, that's correct. Medicare and Medicaid are in a category known as mandatory spending. So that spending wasn't affected by the sequester cuts we had earlier this year. And that spending also wouldn't be affected if there was a shutdown. The government is essentially required to continue delivering those benefits to people. The thought is that the insurance subsidies for buying coverage on the exchanges would fit into that same category of mandatory spending that would have to go out. But like I said, there is a chance. Republicans are so intent on trying to block the law in any way that they can. It's likely that there would be some dispute. A House Republican told me last week that he doesn't believe that the insurance subsidies should fit into that category of mandatory spending because technically they haven't actually been awarded to anyone yet. So it's a bit of an open question, but yeah, you're right. Probably that spending would still continue to go out. The government would still be required to make sure that people get those entitlements.
That's Paige Winfield Cunningham, who covers healthcare for Politico here on Maryland Morning on WIPR. I'm Sheila Kasten. We're talking about how the national debate and impasse over Obamacare might affect us here in Maryland. Senate Leader Harry Reid has said that the Senate, controlled by Democrats, is going to strip out the language to defund Obamacare and pass the rest of the bill to keep the government funded and send it back to the House. What's your sense of what are you hearing about what people are talking about that might change the impasse? Are there things that business groups are lobbying for or hospitals are lobbying for that might change this picture?
Well, right now, yeah, our eyes are on the Senate. Texas Senator Ted Cruz has been trying to get enough Republicans to join him to filibuster the bill, but it's looking less and less likely that he's going to get enough folks to go along with him, and it's looking more and more likely that the Senate is going to pass this CR with the defunding part stripped out of it. If and when that happens, the attention will turn over to the House. I think a lot of people are unsure about exactly what that's going to look like, but it's probably going to hinge on whether the Republican leaders can somehow forge a plan where they can get enough, perhaps moderate Republicans and conservative Democrats, to come together on a plan that President Obama would agree to. And sort of the wild card, of course, in all of this is, are there going to be enough Tea Party Republicans to block something? There are certainly more than several Republicans who will not vote for a CR that funds the health care law. And then, of course, at the same time, President Obama and Leader Reid have said they will not sign a CR that defunds the law or delays it. And so there's a lot of tensions and a lot of moving parts. And it's going to be interesting to see what the House and President Obama come up with over the next week.
But are some changes, for example, I've heard that many businesses want the number of hours that one works to be considered an employee, which this law defines as 30, that they want that raised to 40. Is that a kind of a change that both sides might agree to?
Potentially, yes. There is sort of a whole bucket of ideas to change or improve possibly the healthcare law that plenty of Democrats would probably agree to, especially as part of a big package. So definitely that's something to keep an eye on. If there's a final package, which presumably, allows the funding for the health care law to remain, something that might convince some Republicans to go along with it is if there were some smaller changes, perhaps, to the health care law that both sides could agree on. Even as we speak now, there's some ideas circulating that leadership has been circulating around the Hill that could potentially be in a package, perhaps on the CR or on raising the debt ceiling, perhaps some medical malpractice reforms, perhaps, as you said, changing the 30-hour work week for employers, that definition. The president has already signed seven changes, has agreed to sign legislation changing the health care law seven times. So it's not that Democrats won't change the health care law. They're just insisting that they won't change the fundamental parts of it. They want it to continue going forward. They're not going to defund it. They're not going to delay it. So we may see some other changes to the law as part of the final package.
What might be another change that seems to be gaining momentum?
There's a couple taxes, that trade groups have really been lobbying against. There's a medical device tax. A number of Democrats, both in the House and the Senate, have signed legislation to repeal that tax. Then, of course, there's other changes, other reforms to Medicare that could be part of the final deal, perhaps instituting some means testing, making wealthier seniors pay higher premiums than those with fewer means.
I've been asking you about the current budget fight, but in a couple of weeks, even if this one gets settled, there's another fight looming over whether to raise the debt ceiling. Does what you told us about the way the exchanges and the Affordable Care Act will continue to function apply also if the debt ceiling fight is an impasse?
Most likely. I mean, the talk is, of course, in this CR that the House passed last week, that would actually defund the law. What the talk is that Republicans would like to attach a one-year delay in the health care law to the debt ceiling. That's another sort of no-go.
We have to leave it there, Paige. I really appreciate your talking to us. Paige Winfield Cunningham covers health care for Politico. President Obama is scheduled to come to Maryland on Thursday to make his case for continuing the health law. He'll speak at Prince George's Community College in Largo. That's it for the checkup today. We'd like to hear your experience with your premium. Is your premium going up? Leave us a voicemail at 410-881-3162. I'm Sheila Cast. This is The Checkup on WYPR.